First of all, just a word of comment. The commentary and the reading from the book of Hebrews told us that when one high priest died, that priest was replaced by another. Well, this week in our diocese, we had two priests die, Father Danny O'Neill, who was pastor at St. Peter's Parish in Somerset, and Monsignor Harold Biller, who had been at Garvey Manor for a number of years. And truth be told, we don't have anybody right now to replace them immediately. And so praying for vocations to the priesthood as well as encouraging vocations to the priesthood is an important thing for us to do as members of our diocese. The older you get, you soon realize there's almost always more to any story. And as we gather to celebrate the Eucharist this Sunday, we heard a passage from chapter 12 of Mark's Gospel of a scribe approaching Jesus with a question. But before that scribe approaches Jesus, our Lord has several confrontations. The chapter begins with a confrontation over his authority between Jesus, the chief priests, the scribes, and other religious leaders. And that confrontation was so intense, they wanted to arrest Jesus. That first confrontation in chapter 12 is followed by another one between Jesus and the Pharisees and Herodians about paying taxes. And then that confrontation is followed by a third between Jesus and the Sadducees, and that confrontation is about the resurrection from the dead. We would like to think that Jesus was always meek and mild. He wasn't. He could be offensively strict in his opinions and inflammatory in his language, especially with those who were trying to trip him up. Today, at the end of chapter 12, one of the scribes, and as you know, a scribe is someone who studied the interpretations and commentaries of Jewish Mosaic law. A scribe approaches Jesus, but the scribe approaches Jesus all by himself. He's not looking for a fight. He has a question. And so St. Mark makes a point of indicating that the scribe was impressed with the way Jesus responded to those who were confronting him. And so Jesus treats that scribe with respect. The scribe seems to have an open heart. He's attentive to what Jesus has to say. And our Lord treats him as if he was one of his disciples. The Lord treats him with respect. Our Lord's response to the question is a quote from that first reading we heard today, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, called the Shema Israel. There is one Lord, one God, who is to be loved with an undivided heart. Loving God with one's heart, mind, soul, and strength demands that we don't exclude anything from God, we don't hold anything back from God. And every devout Jew was expected to recite the Shema Israel in the morning during prayer and at night during evening prayer. There is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus links that passage to a passage from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or nurture a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You might have noticed the scribe attempts to give Jesus a compliment. You're right, teacher, in saying that the Lord our God is Lord alone and that you should love him with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. But every devout Jew would have known that is what's expected of them. The compliment really didn't mean all that much. I don't always dress in black clothes, and Saturday mornings is sometimes my grunge morning. I do some work around the house and inside the house, and I decided on one Saturday morning to stop at the local grocery store to do some shopping, and at one point, a person comes up to me and says, I know you from somewhere. I said, well, I'm Father Carson from St. Michael's Parish. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I know who I am, and I know where I'm from. Not a real big compliment. All other commandments and all rules are subordinate to the first and second commandments presented by Jesus. No other commandments are greater. Now, when we think of commandments, we normally think of God's commandments, but God isn't the only one who gives commandments. Husbands and wives give commandments. Moms and dads have commandments. Governments have commandments. Schools have commandments. There are politically correct commandments. There are socially acceptable commandments. There are country club commandments. There are athletic team commandments. And the church has commandments as well. Are you getting my point? There's an awful lot of competition to the two greatest commandments. Sunday, which was established as a day of worship and rest, has become for too many folks, including Christians and Catholics, a fun day, according to a billboard advertising beer. The Lord our God is no longer our Lord alone for so many Christians and Catholics. And for some who do worship, even worship is expected to be fun or entertaining. And worship isn't about us. It's about giving God what is due God as our Lord and Savior. Jesus clearly proclaims that love of God and concern for others and concern about ourselves are essential characteristics of his disciples. Indifference to God, to others, and to ourselves is unloving, narcissistic, and immature. Jesus was confronted by all kinds of questions, some asked with ill will and hostility, others asked with sincerity and respect. With how much of my heart, soul, mind, and strength am I loving God? With how much of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength are you loving God? Are the commands of other people controlling our lives instead of the commands of God? Are we seeking revenge or cherishing a grudge against someone we should be loving? And are we taking care of ourselves spiritually, physically, and emotionally? Are we hating ourselves because of something we did or didn't do, something we said or didn't say? And are we in need of an apology, an act of forgiveness, or the sacrament of reconciliation? The list of commandments from all kinds of different sources is getting longer and longer and longer. Hear, O Americans, the first of all commandments is this: the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Every Eucharist is an experience of God's love for us and an expression of our love for God. And participating in the Eucharist regularly empowers us to be more loving towards others. Our reception of Holy Communion faithfully is the most loving thing we can do for ourselves.